From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Hello, and welcome everyone. Another year has begun. I trust that it will be a year of God's blessing for you. In the book of the prophet Haggai, in chapter 2 and the verse 19, we read, From this day will I bless you. What day was that? It was the day of obedience. From that day, God's blessing came down upon the people to whom the prophet was speaking. The moment Noah entered the ark, he was safe. The moment the sinner obeys the gospel and casts his all on Christ, he is saved. I trust that this year you will take that step of obedience and do what the gospel requires you to do. In our program, we have the first extract from a new testimony. It's that of Jeannie Graham. And what a solemn warning Jeannie's testimony is against backsliding and worldliness. Remember to send for her full testimony. We give it away free to anyone who requests it. I will also commence the study of a new doctrine in our program. It's part of the series, The Central Doctrines of the Christian Faith. We will begin looking at the return of Christ to this earth. But first, here's Jeannie Graham and the first extract from her testimony.
I just thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to come to tell you my story. My story about how the Lord Jesus just reached down from heaven's glory and how he saved such a wretch as I. Do you know, I was saved on the 8th of June, 1975, and I was only a little child at that time. I was only 4 years of age. But you know, I believe the scriptures that Jesus loves the little children, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. And I remember as a little girl walking and loving the Lord. I was brought up in a very strict Christian home. My daddy would have been very strict with us and sent us out to all the gospel meetings. But you know, as I became a teenager, we all know the old saying, far away fields look green. And whenever I went into high school, I can honestly say that I went in with the Lord. But you know, the Lord, or I didn't stay with him for very long. I used to wear a little Jesus badge, and I used to go around telling my friends how they needed saved. But you know, those faraway fields did look green. If you ever see any of the nightclubs or the picture house or anything, there's big, big dazzling lights. And the old devil tries to fool you. He tries to make you think that you're missing something and that you're having such a boring time and that everybody all around you is having the time of their life. And this is what I began to think in my teenage life. At the age of 13, sad to say, I took my first drink. And you know, my older sister had to sneak me into the house because I just durn't have went into my home with alcohol on me. And you know, whenever I turned my back on God, you know, our brother Willie McRae sings, sin will take you further than you want to go. And you know, it'll cost you more than you ever wanted to pay. Maybe there's a backslider here tonight. And you know, the very first time you turn your back on God, you never ever imagine that you'll stoop so low. And you never ever believe that you'll stay away so long. But so I started to drink so did in the middle of my teenage life. But there was a far more sadder thing happened in my teenage years. You see, you call my daddy Joe. And we all know about Joseph in the Old Testament and how he went down into Egypt. In Egypt, it wasn't known as a far country, but it was far away from his home. But my father, Joseph, you know, he took his eyes off the Lord. And we all know the story of the Titanic and just how quick the Titanic sank. But friends, this is just how quick my family sank. And sin was going to take us further than we wanted to go. And you know, at the start, I really rejoiced in this because I was allowed to do all the things that I had never allowed to do before. I was allowed to go to the picture house. I got my ears pierced. I was allowed to go to the school discos and I could really do whatever I wanted then. And I thought this was great. You know, at the age of 15, I remember going in and having to tell my mother that I was pregnant. I remember lying down in the bedroom and I was waiting for my dad to come in and I really thought he was going to kill me. And he just put his lovely arms around me and he says, "Jeannie, the world will beat you, but I won't."
That was Jeannie Graham. I do hope you will send for the full tape of her testimony. As we continue our series of studies in the central doctrines of the Christian faith, I want to consider with you the return of Christ to this earth. This is a natural follow-on from our last study when we considered the change that the Christian will undergo at the resurrection of the saints when Christ returns. No aspect of Christian doctrine is more heartwarming than the truth that Christ is coming again. It's a truth that believers love to contemplate. Let me commence our study by saying that God's people have been looking forward to the return of Christ since the dawn of time. Perhaps you think that Christians have been looking for the return of Christ only since his ascension into heaven some 2,000 years ago. Well, they have been looking for his second coming long before his first coming took place. Let me read from Jude, the last but one book of the New Testament. And Jude quotes from one of the very earliest prophets. His name was Enoch. Now, when Enoch was born, Adam was still alive. So we're going right back to the dawn of time. Jude, the verses 14 and 15 read, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam," that is, the seventh generation from Adam, "prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Here's an extract from a sermon preached in the days of Adam, right back in the first generations of man. Believers knew about the second coming of Christ and the purpose of that coming. Does this not underline the importance of this doctrine? Secondly, the return of Christ has been a source of encouragement for God's people since the dawn of time. God's people have looked forward to it, and in times of trouble, it has proved to be a great source of encouragement. You see, it's at Christ's return that the believer will be glorified. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and the verses 16 to 18 read, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Dear Christian, since the dawn of time, the coming again of Christ for his people has been a source of comfort. God's people have been wrapping themselves up in these glorious truths in times of trial and affliction, and receiving great comfort from them. I could fill many programs with the relevant quotations from God's people that are recorded in the Old Testament that underscore this fact. Here are some familiar quotations. This is David. "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." Psalm 17 and verse 15. David in this psalm is praying about the trouble his enemies are causing him, and in the midst of his trials, he looks away to that day when he will be raised from the dead and made like unto Christ, and will no more be troubled by his enemies. That was his comfort amidst his afflictions. Then you remember the story of Job. What trials poor old Job had. What was his comfort? What was it supported him in the midst of it all? Well, it certainly wasn't his three comforters. As you well know, the story indicates that they were anything but comforters to him. Job's comfort was this, and we're reading from chapter 19 of the book of Job, verses 25 to 27, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." That was Job's comfort. Amidst his sickness, amidst the mockery that focused upon him, amidst his trials, Job looked away to the return of Christ and his partaking then of Christ's glory. The New Testament saints, of course, have been looking and longing for that day. John, in his first epistle, the chapter 3 and the verse 2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Oh, the comfort that the return of Christ presents to the soul of the believer. But what of those who are not saved? Those who have listened to the gospel but have refused to believe it? The return of Christ brings no comfort for them. Again, let me quote, this time from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 to 10. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe." The return of Christ will mean damnation for those who have rejected his mercy and refused to believe his word. It's time to seek the Lord, especially as we begin another year. Some of you may have said at the beginning of 2001, "I will get saved this year," but you haven't. Time slips by so quickly. Our opportunities are going. Dear listener, be in time. Get right with God. God bless you. Do remember to tune in again next week. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless his word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.